ahead and dismiss our children. We'd like for anyone 10 years old and below is dismissed at this time to the junior church area, if it's okay with your mom and dad. Of course, we don't want to, but if they're not here, it's okay. Amen. 10 years old and below, we want you to go ahead in there, and Brother DeShazo's got something prepared for you. Amen. Looks like, Brother, you're going to have quite a group. Amen. If they give you into trouble, just have Samuel sit on them or something. He's a big boy. Amen. Let's open our Bibles this morning to the Gospel according to John. John chapter 12. It is so good to see you, visitors. Thank you for coming. I pray that you'll be helped and encouraged this morning. It's the Word of God. It's going to help you if you'll let it. John chapter 12, there in the New Testament. We had a tremendous time at Vacation Bible School. It was a lot of work, and we were all pretty weary. Yesterday I woke up Saturday morning, and, well, I'm always a little bit tired on Saturday morning, but boy, I felt like I got hit by a truck. You say, preacher, you must be getting old. Well, yeah, but you don't have to remind me. John chapter 12. Stand with me, please. In verse 20, I'll begin reading there. And John 12, verse 20 and following. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came, therefore, to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. You notice how they came to Philip, because they knew Philip was one of the 12. They knew Philip was there with them. They knew Philip was a Christian. And they came to Philip. They didn't just go to anybody. They said, Sir, we would see Jesus. We want to see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew. And again, Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. I don't know why he needed Andrew, but he went and got Andrew, and then the two of them went and told Jesus. Jesus, there's some men out here who want to see you. Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Did you see that? Any man serve Jesus, the Father in heaven will honor, bless, greatly bless that man. Verse 27, now, Jesus is speaking here still, now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? You ever felt that way? My soul is troubled. What do I say? What do I do? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it, and will glorify it again. Amen. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. It's amazing how differently people hear the word of God. Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, he said in verse 32, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. If I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Our Heavenly Father, I pray for the message this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to hearts as you already are. Lord, there's no way that this precious book can be opened and read aloud without speaking into hearts. Father, I pray now that you'd give me wisdom and fill me with your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Once again, we have people looking to see Jesus, wanting to see Jesus. Because of the miracles that he had done, they had heard that he had done some miraculous supernatural things, that he had healed people, he had caused the blind to see, he had caused the deaf to hear, he had made the lame to walk again, he had raised the dead. Just a couple chapters, matter of fact, the chapter before this, John chapter 11, it stirred quite a craving to see Jesus, because he just raised Lazarus from the dead after being dead for 4 days. Jesus began, they said, they went to the church member and they said, we would like to see Jesus. And the church member said, well, let me go tell him. And that's all that listen, you and me, we can't conjure up something to make people think it's Jesus. That's what the world is doing today. They're conjuring up flesh and emotions to make people think that it's Jesus. But listen, when people want to see Jesus, you know what we need to do is we need to go tell Jesus, Jesus, these people want to see you. Help me show them. You show yourself to them. Listen, this doesn't do us any good to try to show them Jesus in our own power.
Amen.
In our own flesh.
Amen.
They went to Jesus and said, Jesus, these men want to see you. And then Jesus didn't run out to meet them. He didn't run out to say, okay, what would you like me to do for you? Like some circus act.
Yep.
He didn't run out there and say, okay, what would you like? Would you like me to stand on my head? Would you like me to raise the dead? He said, no. Jesus said in verse 23, the hour is come. The Son of Man should be glorified. And then he talks about dying. Verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die. He's talking about himself. The hour is come, he said. He's talking about the time for his death. The time for his crucifixion has come. And he says, they want to see me, but they're missing the point. He said, they want to see me, but they're missing the point. He said, what I'm trying to tell you is, I'm not here to be a sideshow freak. I'm here because I must die to bring forth much. Notice the word in verse 24 at the end, much fruit.
Amen.
Except I die, he says, except I die, fall in the ground and die. Folks, listen to me. He died on that old rugged cross. His blood was shed, yes. He suffered, yes. But he physically, his life ended on that cross. And he was buried in that tomb as a dead, physically dead man. But notice what it says. Now that he died, he can bring forth much fruit.
Amen.
And it begins to tell them in verse 25, he that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. He begins to make the comparison to you and to me. He said, listen, they're looking to me. They're looking to see me because they want to see another miracle. But the fact is, I have come that they might have life, that they might have life more abundantly, but they also that they might bear fruit, that they might have souls to their account. He says, I have come to die so that they could live. And I want them to understand that they also need to die to themselves so that others can live.
Amen.
So that others can live. You notice, he didn't give them what they were looking for, but he gave them the truth.
Amen.
Folks, you ought to be thankful that God doesn't just give you everything that you're looking for. We need truth.
Yes, sir.
We need what's really going to change our lives is the Word of God. The truth of this book. We don't need what everybody else is looking for. We don't need what we think is what's going to make us feel better. We need truth. We need the old precious Word of God to work in our hearts, stir us and change us. If any man serve me, he goes on to say, every man must serve me in verse 26. My Father will honor them. But he's very honest in verse 27. This is a very very keen insight into his heart. Jesus was troubled. Jesus did not want to go to the cross. Jesus knew, listen to me now, church, he knew what it was going to cost him. He knew what it was going to, how much it was going to hurt. He knew the agony that he was going to suffer. And he said, "What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." But he says, "For this cause came I into this hour." He says, "No, that's not what I'm going to say. Father, save me from this hour." In verse 28, he says, "Rather, I'm going to say, Father, glorify thy name. Father, glorify." Now notice what happens. Instead of complaining about the will of God, instead of complaining about what God had for him to do, he said, "Father, I surrender. I surrender. Father, glorify thy name." He said, "Father, I know that this is going to hurt. Father, I know this is going to be agonizing. I know my blood is going to be shed. I know I'm going to hang on that old rugged cross after they beat me and humiliate me. I know those thorns are going to pierce the crown of my head. I know that I'm going to be just completely obliterated to smithereens. I'm going to be so beaten, so smut, that you're not even going to be able to recognize me as a man. I know that, Father. I'm not looking forward to that, Father. But Father, thy name be glorified." And then, notice what happens. Then, he heard from heaven.
Amen.
Maybe God's not answering because you're not surrendered.
Amen.
Maybe you're not hearing from heaven because you're fighting it. Whatever it is that God has for you. Jesus said, "What should I do then? Should I say, Father, save me from this hour?" You know, he could have. He could have. He could have said, "Father, just take me away. I don't want to do this. I can't do this." The Bible says, hey, don't you misunderstand what the Bible says. He despised the shame. He despised the shame. He did not look forward to it. He did not enjoy it. He despised it. He cried out, "Father, God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He despised the shame. It was not pleasurable. It was not enjoyable. But he was surrendered so that his Father's name would be glorified. And then he heard from heaven. I look into your eyes. Some of you haven't heard from heaven in a long time. And you're getting discouraged because of it. It's beating you down. It's wearing you out. I haven't heard from heaven. God's not speaking to me like he used to. He's not speaking to me like he used to. Do you want to see Jesus? Do you want to hear? Do you want to know that he's there? Do you want him to answer you? Listen to me. The first step is to surrender.
Amen.
Stop fighting.
Amen.
Stop fighting. The people in verse 29 stood by and heard it. Did you hear that thunder? Oh, I didn't even see the clouds. Other people said an angel was speaking to him. Confusion about the Word of God. You know, people run when they hear thunder. They run the other way because they're expecting a storm. They're expecting something that's going to be dangerous, something that may cause harm. They run when they see thunder, when they hear thunder, but yet an angel draws them. Because an angel is a minister, light and compassion. You see how the Word of God does complete opposite effect to people? How some of them thought thunder and they thought, "This is I better go inside. I'm about to get struck by lightning." And others said, "That's an angel speaking to him. I think I want to stay here and listen." What's the difference? It was the same voice. It was the same heaven. What was the difference? Their heart.
Amen.
See, if you haven't heard from God in who knows how long, you don't recognize his voice even anymore. I wonder why you came to church this morning. Did you come because you needed to hear from heaven? Well, let me just tell you, you need to hear from heaven. You need to hear from heaven. I need to hear from heaven. Let me just promise you, we all need to hear from heaven. I don't know if that's why you came this morning, but I'm glad you're here. And I praise the Lord for it. But I hope that you came wanting to hear from heaven. Not wanting to socialize, not wanting to flirt, not wanting to be a fellowship with everybody. That's all very, 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 very secondary. Some of it has no place in the house of God. Amen. But we need to hear from heaven.
Amen.
About 19 kids this week. Well, I hope they all heard from heaven, but I trust some of them did.
Amen.
That boy right there bowed his head and asked Jesus Christ to save him.
Amen.
That boy right there. Let's see. I think they all went back in the junior church. The rest of them. They said, "Dear God in heaven, I know I'm a sinner. You spoke to my heart. I know that I'm lost. I know I'm going to hell. But I believe Jesus died for me with all my heart. I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Please forgive me. Save me." And you know what God did? God heard from heaven and saved their souls.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
How about you?
Amen.
How about you?
Amen. It's good.
Jesus said, "Father, glorify thy name. Thy will be done." Like Brother Sammy said, my favorite verse, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." I love that verse. I told you I'm looking forward to it. Verse 30, Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes." "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." Verse 32. He's telling us the point. He says, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." What? We know. We understand that he's talking. Well, maybe you don't. Let me just remind you or help you understand that he's talking about his death on the cross. He's talking about himself being lifted up on that old rugged cross on the mount called Calvary, Golgotha's hill. He's talking about himself being lifted up from the earth. They put the nails in his hands and his feet, and they raise him up off the ground for all the world to see. You understand? He said, "If that happens to me, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw." Notice what he says. Now, this is interesting to me. All men.
Amen.
You may be here this morning. You may be saved this morning, and I hope that you are. Praise God for it. But the only way you got saved is because Jesus Christ was lifted up from the earth, and that drew you to Him.
Amen. That's right.
That drew you to Him. Why? Look over in John chapter 3. Look over in John chapter 3. Verse 11 and following. Just a few pages to the left. "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness." That's Jesus speaking again. Notice how he uses the plural there, "we," "our." He's talking about himself and his Father.
Amen.
He says in verse 12, "If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." There it is again. "That whosoever..." believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How do they believe in him? Based on that passage of scripture, how do they believe in him? They look up to him as he is lifted up from off the earth. I want you to turn with me to Numbers chapter 21 in the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers chapter 21. This morning, beginning in verse 4. We're going to find out what Jesus is talking about as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Numbers chapter 21, verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. They were out in the wilderness wandering around by the way of the Red Sea. But it says compassing the land of Edom. A little Sunday school lesson. The land of Edom. He's a descendant of Amalek, which is a descendant of Esau, which is always a picture of the flesh in the Bible. The flesh, the sinful nature that every one of us has. As a matter of fact, before you got saved, if you're saved, that's all you had. If you're not saved, that's all you still have, is that nature of sin, that nature of Edom. And because of that way, notice what it says, the soul of the people was much discouraged. Discouraged means they were losing their courage. They were losing their strength. They were losing their desire. They were growing discouraged, depressed, and miserable because of what? Because of the way. Because of where they were. Because of things that were going on around them. They were in that land of Edom. In the flesh and nature, sin was controlling them. And they were discouraged. Ever felt like that?
Yeah, ma'am.
Before you got saved, let me tell you something. That's all you knew. You tried to get up, start over, and you kept on walking by the way of Edom, and you got discouraged. Nothing was happening to you that was any different than anybody else, but because of the way, you were in there just like everybody else. You were in that way, Edom, the flesh, the sin, the filth of the world, and you were discouraged. The people began to speak against God in verse 5. And that's what you did. You began to get angry at God. You began to get angry at God. How could it be? And then when somebody would knock on your door or somebody would invite you to church, you'd say, "Oh, God, that stuff doesn't work. That's not true. There's nothing to that. How can God let this happen and this happen?" And you began so discouraged, you began to speak against God. And then you began, of course, if speak against God, speak against Moses, you speak against all the Christians that you know of. They're a bunch of hypocrites. That stuff ain't real. They began to complain, "Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? God, what are you going to do, God? You're just going to kill me? What's the point of life? Why am I here? I'm discouraged." Every one of you was there before you got saved.
Amen.
Every one of you.
Amen.
No exceptions. This is a picture of the lost man. This is a picture of you before salvation. Because all you had was the way in the land of Edom. All you knew was your flesh. All you knew was what you wanted, and you couldn't find it. You couldn't get it. You were lost.
Yes, sir.
In the land of Edom. There's no bread. Neither is there any water. Our soul loatheth this light bread. I don't want what the little bit that God's given me. I want more. I don't want this little bit that I'm getting from the... I want more. I want more. I want more. I want more. That's what everybody says. Why can't I have more? Why can't I have bigger? Why can't I have better? And you're discouraged. You're lost in the wilderness of Edom. And the Lord said in verse 6, okay, I'm going to have to do something here to wake these people up. He sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. See, the wages of sin, folks, is death.
Amen.
The wages of sin is death. And as a sinner lost and wandering around in the wilderness of Edom, discouraged, complaining about God, and cursing Christians, calling them everything under the sun, and then all of a sudden you see somebody die, and they go straight to hell, and you think, what is that happening? It's happening because of sin.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Edom, the flesh. And then, therefore the people came to Moses. Oh, now they come to Moses. Now, God got their attention. We have sinned. We have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that's bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass. Brass in the Bible is always a picture of judgment. Judgment. Brass is not a pure metal. Brass is an alloy of copper and tin. A mixture. It's judgment. It's not a pure metal. It's not pure. You're not pure before you get saved. You're impure. There's all kinds of filthy impurities in you. There's nothing pure about you. And brass is a picture of judgment. That's all the lost sinner gets is judgment.
Yes, sir. That's right.
They're already condemned. The wrath of God already abideth on them. And God said, make a fiery serpent, put it on a pole of brass, and stick it up in the air. Raise it up. Lift it up. And when they look upon it, they shall live. You say, that's all it took? Oh, but listen to me. What it took for them was to admit that they were guilty. It took for them to admit that they could not save themselves. It took for them to admit that there was no hope. And then you say, well, why did he put a serpent on the pole? And I'm finished with this. Because he wanted them to realize that serpent, that snake, Satan, is the reason you're discouraged.
Yeah.
Satan is the reason that Edom is what it is. Satan is the reason that you're discouraged in the way.
Yeah.
Satan is the reason that you're dying and going to hell. Satan, I want you to look up at that pole and realize that is not God's fault. That's serpent's fault. That's
yeah.
the Satan. And that's God putting him up there to make you admit that you need Jesus Christ
yeah.
as your personal Savior.
Amen. That's good.
See, well, wait a minute. One raised up a serpent. Another raised up the Savior.
Yep.
But it was for the same reason.
Amen.
Sin. The serpent was lifted up on a rod of brass. Judgment. The serpent judged.
Yep.
Jesus Christ lifted up on that old rugged cross. It wasn't made of brass, but it was a picture of cruel judgment. And the devil was cast out, cast down, defeated.
Amen.
The serpent was defeated.
Amen.
All they had to do was look. So all they had to do was look and believe. No, I didn't say that. Look and live.
Amen, preacher.
Why?
That's good.
Because the payment's already been made.
Amen.
You mean there's people in that crowd that did not even look at that serpent? Oh, you better believe it. There's people in that crowd that got bit and they were dying. They said, I'm not looking at no stinking serpent. I don't believe that. It can't be that easy. That's ridiculous. That's stupid. Give me some medicine. Give me a pill. Give me a doctor. Give me a psychologist. Give me a new method. Give me a new way. No, you better look or you're not going to live.
Amen, preacher. Amen.
There's no other way.
Amen.
That's silly. That's too simple. Well, go ahead and die. But Jesus already paid the price. He's already paid the price. He's already done everything for you. You need to look and you can live. And by the way, don't tell me it's not drawing you, because Jesus said it's drawing all men.
Amen.
All men.
Amen.
The Bible says in John chapter 1 that the light, Jesus Christ, lighteth every man that cometh into the world.
Amen. Amen.
Why? Because they're wandering in darkness.
Yes, sir.
And they're tired of it. They're discouraged. by the way. The life is destroyed. Church is not changing it. You can't seem to get anything accomplished. Nothing is going the way you think. Nothing is right. You have no peace. You have no joy. You have nothing. You laid your head down at night, and if you died, you know you would bust hell wide open. And God says, look, Jesus has already done it.
That's right.
Jesus has already paid.
Amen.
Look and live.
Right.
Can you believe that some of those Israelites would just simply say, no, I'm not going to do it. I guarantee you they did. Because it says, verse 9, Moses made a serpent of brass, put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived.
Amen.
It didn't say they all beheld it. It doesn't say they all beheld it. It says when the ones that did behold it, they lived. Moses did his job. God did his job. Jesus did his job.
Amen.
And he's lifted up. That's all I'm trying to do this morning.
Amen.
Is lift it up to you.
That's right. Amen.
Don't look at me.
Amen.
Look at the one who was lifted up.
Right.
Don't look to the world. Look to the one who's lifted up. Don't look to your wisdom.
Come on.
Your money.
No, sir.
Look to the one who's lifted
Amen.
Up.
Amen.
He's drawing you.
That's right.
You can ignore him, and people do. But he's lifted up. The serpent has been destroyed.
Amen.
Judgment has been accounted for. Atonement has been made. Righteousness is offered to you through the blood of Jesus Christ. He was lifted up. He's drawing all men to himself. Christian, does your life lift him up? See, if I stood here like this, you would look at me and then you would automatically look at what's in my hand. Why? Because it's lifted up.
That's good.
It could be anything in my hand, but you'd look up there because it's lifted up. When a tall man walks into a room and he's about 4, 5, 6 inches taller than everybody else, everybody notices it. Why? Because he's lifted up. Because he stands out. When people look at you, what are you lifting up? What are you lifting up? Does your life lift up Jesus? Does your life lift up the hope? That's the only hope they have? Or do they see you and you just kind of blend in with the rest of them? Does the way you dress, the way you talk, the way you act, the way you live, does it lift Jesus up? And if so, praise the Lord. Praise God. But can I tell you that most of Christianity today blends in and is afraid to stand out. That's okay. I can't help you. I'm challenging you this morning. If you'll lift up Jesus Christ, your friends, your loved ones will be drawn to Him. If you're not saved this morning, you're discouraged, you're wandering around aimlessly in the wilderness of Edom, and the only destiny you have is death in hell.
That's right.
That's the only thing you have waiting for you. But Jesus was lifted up. Let's bow our heads. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's looking around. I want to ask you one quick question this morning. Don't look at me. Listen to me. In your heart's eye, look at Jesus lifted up on that old rugged cross. And ask yourself, have I ever looked at Him to live Have I ever looked at him knowing that he was my only hope? Have I ever really looked at him for the salvation of my soul? I don't know your heart, but you do. And when they were getting bit by those serpents in the wilderness, Satan was destroying them, destroying their families, their lives, their homes, and they were doing nothing but dying and going straight to hell. God told the preacher, lift up the serpent. Today, God tells the preacher, lift up Jesus Christ. Judgment has been paid. It's been made, paid in full. The cost has been made, paid. The blood of Christ, the only price that God will accept. The preacher this morning, I know without a doubt. I've been saved the Bible way. I've looked to Jesus Christ for my soul salvation, knowing that there's no other way. I know if I died right now, I'd go straight to heaven. Would you raise your hand as a testimony? I know I'm going to heaven. Would you raise your hand? Would you just lift it up? Don't be ashamed of Jesus. Amen. You can put it down. Some of you didn't raise your hand. I don't know if you're just being rebellious or if you just don't know you're saved. I just want you to understand something today. You can look and live. Jesus Christ has been lifted up and you are being drawn to Him this morning. You have two choices. You can look to Him. You can accept Him as your eternal Savior. You can be saved today or you can reject it. He's not going to make you do anything and neither am I. But I'm telling you tonight. I'm telling you this morning. You must look or you'll never live. Say, preacher, I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know that I'm going to heaven. I'm not sure. He has drawn me today. Would you pray for me? I want to be saved. Would you pray? I can't save you. I want to pray that you will finally, once and for all, humble yourself and look to Jesus for your salvation. Say, preacher, I don't know if I died right now that I'd go to heaven, but I sure don't want to go to hell. Would you pray for me? Would anybody like that? To be honest with you, yourself, be honest with me and lift up your hand. Say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't know if I died right now that I'd go to heaven. Thank you. I see those hands. Somebody else. Anybody else this morning? Preacher, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I'm going to heaven. Would you pray for me? Lift your hand up. Let me pray for you. I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to embarrass you. Thank you. You can put them down. Anybody else this morning? Say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't know that I really have that salvation. I don't want to die and go to hell. Would you pray for me? I'm going to give you one more chance. Would you lift your hand up high? Put it right back down. Christian, how about you as we close this morning? Does your life lift up Jesus so other people are drawn to Him? He said, if I be lifted up. You know what that VBS was all about this week? Lifting up Jesus. You know what the life of the Apostle Paul and his perilous adventures was all about? Lifting up Jesus. This morning, you need to be saved. Jesus is lifted up. You've seen Him, you've heard Him, but you have to look with your heart's eye and accept Him as your Savior this morning. Christian, what does your life do? Does your life lift up Jesus Christ? Piano's going to begin to play this morning. Let's all stand to our feet. You need to be saved this morning. Slip out of your chair and stand to our feet. Christians, how about you? Does your life lift up Jesus Christ? Do people know that you're different? Or do they hear you murmuring and complaining just like everybody else? If you need to be saved this morning, would you slip out of your chair? Come on down here and let us show you from the Word of God how you can know for sure that you can be born again. Won't you come? Come to Jesus today. Just lift up your eyes and look. Come on down here. Let us show you from the Bible. You can look straight into the Word of God and see Jesus Christ once and for all as your Savior, the only hope you have. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Please, no one's looking around.